From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you all so much. We got a great show for you today. Our guest today will be Carrie Brownstein, who in her young life has founded two rock bands and created and stars in the great sketch comedy show Portlandia. We invite listeners who already feel bad about their own lack of accomplishment to tune to another station while we talk to her, because it's not going to help. But before then, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Lisa Wong from Emeryville, California.
Oh, beautiful Emeryville. Do you live near Pixar?
I do, just a few blocks away, actually. They're really nice neighbors.
They are? Do you ever go over to borrow a cup of magic and joy?
Yes. Yes, they have the best magic and joy.
They really do. Well, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week, Lisa. First, say hello to a comedian performing at Stand Up Live in Phoenix, April 20th through the 22nd. Mr. Maz Jobrani is here.
Hi, Maz.
Hey, how are you?
I went to Cal, so I was right there.
Oh, woohoo.
Woo, go Bears.
Next, a comedian and a host here in Chicago on Vocalo.org, Mr. Brian Babylon is here.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Brian.
And a comedian performing in Napa, California, at the Napa Opera House on April 12th, Miss Paula Poundstone is here.
Hey, Lisa.
So, Lisa, you're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win the big prize, Carl's voice on your voicemail. You ready to go?
I am ready.
All right, here's your first quote.
This was a train wreck for the Obama administration.
That was legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin, calmly and coolly marveling at the wreckage as the Supreme Court considered what?
The individual mandate for the health care.
Wow, you're too smart even for us. We were just going to go with Obamacare, but that's fine. Yes, the individual mandate. You're right, the whole thing. It was... It was Woodstock for jurisprudence nerds. 3 days of argument and precedent. Except for supporters of the health care law, it was more like Altamont. At one point, Justice Scalia responded to arguments from the Solicitor General in favor of the law by coming down from the bench and stabbing him. This was the case of a lifetime for Solicitor General Donald Varelli, and he choked. I mean, he literally choked. Listen to him as he begins presenting his case.
Insurance has become the predominant means of paying for health care in this country. Insurance has become the predominant means of paying for health care in this country because this is a market in which
that will be the last time that Donald Varelli takes the cinnamon challenge right before oral argument.
That's terrible.
That was horrible.
How come they had a guy like that do it?
Yeah.
Well, this guy is the Solicitor General of the United States. He's supposed to be the best there is at this
now. Well, how did he get in there?
Maybe it's like an internship program.
Did you guys listen to the arguments? Because I did. It was really interesting because you don't normally get to hear it. And at one point, this guy, Varelli, the Solicitor General, was doing such a bad job of defending the law that the liberal justices, Kagan and Sotomayor and those guys, were interrupting to kind of help him out. They were like stage mothers with a junior high school son in the school play. It was like, come on, that's right. Invoke U.S. v. Lopez. Oh, good, yes, good job. So proud.
You know what? I think the Obama administration needs to do a total PR reboot. They need, like, all the madmen to come together and do an ad campaign and have, like, Tim Tebow be the new spokesman for Obamacare.
Change the image.
Yeah, change the image where he's like, Obamacare, it's cool, Tim Tebow.
That's all he needs to do.
All you need to do is try it. I mean, what do you have to lose? It's over, man.
it's so hard to pass a law. I mean, he wanted it, then Congress, now we... I'm from Iran originally, and we just say go. I mean, like the king goes...
Done.
Or the dictator.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's Khamenei care, or, you know, Ahmadinejad care.
It seems more efficient.
Boom.
Done.
Done. No debates.
Yeah.
You guys might have something there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Telling you. Dictatorships aren't that bad.
I have a really bad cough. Maybe I could argue
yeah,
before.
Yeah, you're good. That's all you need. All right, Lisa, here is your next quote.
This is my last election. After my election, I have more flexibility.
That was someone speaking to the president of Russia when he thought nobody else could hear him. Who was promising more flexibility once he got reelected?
That was President Obama.
It was. It was President Obama. And for Mr. Obama's enemies, their worst fears were confirmed this week when he was caught on a live mic making secret promises to the current Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev. Fortunately for Obama, at the last second, he decided not to speak to Mr. Medvedev in Russian.
You never know what those guys talk well when the mics are off.
I know.
What do you mean when the mics are off? We're filmed and microphoned all the time. How can anybody be that stupid, honestly? There has been just over and over again guys caught saying dumb stuff when the... And it's always the mic is still on.
Well, the problem is you can't even, like... I mean, you can't even text anymore because then people find... Then, you know, Medvedev would have been like, oh, he's been sexting me or whatever it is. It's hard to get secrets out now. That's what I'm trying to say.
What would an Obama sex text even read like?
Well, it's what he said. I'll be more flexible afterwards. Yeah.
That's funny. It would be.
You know what this means, though? It means that now that we know what his real feelings are, it means after he gets reelected, he's going to go full on Russian. He's going to, like, completely go over to their side. He's going to give Alaska back.
Well, you know
like,
what?
Hey, Sarah, you can see it now, huh?
If he goes full Russian, that means he's not Muslim, I guess.
That's
you
true.
Know, you know, so maybe if he, that maybe that will balance it out.
Wouldn't that be great if the reveal were that? Like, if you suddenly, like, exactly.
I'm in Russian the whole time.
Yeah. Good news was, wasn't born in Kenya. Bad news. Lisa, here is your last quote.
Mating and preying on each other are about the only two things on their mind down there. Pretty much like us.
That was movie director James Cameron talking about the animals he found where?
That would be at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
You are good, whoa. Yes. The very bottom of the Mariana Trench. Movie director James Cameron descended to the deepest part of the ocean. It's called the Challenger Deep there in the Mariana Trench. He went in a submarine he designed and piloted himself. By strange coincidence, that forbiddingly deep ocean trench is the only place on Earth where they don't yet know about the re-release of Titanic in 3D. Cameron went down there to tell the primordial, lightless crustaceans that it's the must-see 15-year-old movie event of the year. Cameron, as you heard, said that, well, there's really not much down there that he could see. It looks like an empty seafloor. So he spent all this money just to see something he's seen many times before, sort of like how I felt seeing Avatar.
Wait till the real release 15 years from now.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah, in flat.
In flat.
I'd go see it in flat.
Does this guy build and make? He's just tricking out submarines?
Yeah.
Blowing his money on submarines?
Yeah, he's got enough money to do it.
That's how supervillains start, Peter. I'm trying to tell you. It starts with a rich guy building a submarine, then he wants a city down there.
Exactly.
Then he wants to take over the surface world.
Yep. Yes, yes, yes.
That's how it starts.
By the way, this really, if you're going to have a movie director do this sort of thing, deep sea exploration, this is the one you want. You don't want, like, Woody Allen. He'd be down there like, oh, I don't know, the pressure. I don't know. It's too much pressure. Carl, how did Lisa do in our quiz?
Lisa, congratulations. You had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your answering machine or voicemail.
Well done.
Okay.